Carly Krebs. Carly graduated from Miami of Ohio University. She attended University of Virginia Medical School. She then performed her residency at UVA. Next year, she's going to be doing a sports medicine fellowship at the University of Utah. She's presently a fourth-year PM&I resident, and I understand that Vane, you stole a lot of her thunder in terms of talking about the same thing, but she'll wing it. So come on up, Carly.
Alrighty, I'm an expert at winging it, so that shouldn't be a problem. Like you said, I'm a resident. We'll do the panel afterwards so you guys can ask us questions. And then even after the panel, if you have those super secret questions that you don't want the attendings to hear, you can come find us as well and ask us about all the dirt. Try to not let them know what I tell you. Okay. So as far as the resident's perspective of things, you're thinking of all these questions. You know, what do I want to do with my life? How much money do I need or want? What kind of practicing do I want to practice in? Again, you don't have to make all these decisions now, but it's just kind of what's going through your mind. Where do I want to end up? Where in the country? All sorts of things. And finally, what is PM&R? Why? What is all the stuff I'm hearing about it? So, again, this is the repeat stuff, so I'm going to go quickly. So, obviously, we talk about function with physiatry, and we care about the whole person, and you know, we work with the PTs and OTs and all that good stuff, and we can do lots of different non-surgical / semi-surgical things. So some of the problems, like we were talking with some people, that, you know, there could be low visibility in medical school. People see it late. Sometimes you have difficulty arranging rotations if you don't have electives till fourth year. And, again, explaining to people what you do. Now, luckily, no one in my family's in medicine anyway, so no matter what I went to, I'd have to explain something about it, so I could circumvent that. So we're going to talk a little bit about the field, but mostly what I'll talk about is kind of what you do in residency, what you can look forward to, and some of the things that if you are going into the field and you apply, some good things to think about when you're interviewing different places, what to look for as far as what rotations they offer. So there are all sorts of websites that you guys can use for information. AAPM&R is a good starting point. They have a specific medical student section if you look in the left-hand column. So you can click on that. The AAP is the another organization that they do just the academic side of things, and the foundation, all sorts of websites, though. You can just Google it. You'll find some good stuff. There's all sorts of textbooks, and again, if you want to ask kind of on one-on-one what things I recommend, if you want to start buying them, that's fine. There's just so many different ones, and some of them have their strengths and weaknesses. So if you want to come to me afterwards, you can let me know. It's, as a resident, it's hard because obviously money's tight, but you want to have some sort of references. So different programs, their attendings will recommend different things. I, so far, have bought a review book, which is Cucurillo. That's kind of the overall review book, which they're coming out with a new one in November, the second edition. So definitely don't get it in the next couple of months. Just wait for the second edition. But that's kind of the overall review book that a lot of residents use to study for boards. So it's, I don't know the title. It's something about physical medicine rehab, but it's by Sarah Cucurillo. Some of the other textbooks, like I have a sports medicine textbook, so that's my interest. I bought an EMG textbook, but those are things I bought later on, third and fourth year, when I was kind of gearing up for fellowship and knew I'd have to do more specialized reading than just the overviews. Some of these that are up there are better for medical students, looking at PM&R secrets or manual of PM&R is a good one. I have that one at the bottom. That just kind of gives you overviews of things. So if you're on a rotation, you're obviously not going to read an entire textbook on, you know, EMG or sports, but it'll give you a little tidbits here and there that you can try to impress the attendings with. And as far as making contacts, again, I know people have talked about this, but there is a mentor program with the AAPM&R, so you go to their website, and residents can sign up to be a mentor, and that way when you sign up, you can get their information, ask them questions, ask them about either general PM&R questions, or specifically you can get a resident from a certain program and say, you know, what about the Southeast, or what about the Northeast, what programs, what's your opinion programs there, all that good stuff. And again, those web-based forums, you know, it's hit or miss. I've definitely seen things on it that are completely untrue, and I've seen things that I thought about and thought maybe they're very too true. So unless you have someone who can kind of verify things, I wouldn't make any decisions based on what's read there. Okay, so we already talked about things you can do in med school since Vinu's program director, he kind of told you what he'd be looking for. So just do things that'll, you know, help you out. Even something I didn't hear anyone talked about, volunteering. We have a bunch of adaptive sports programs at University of Virginia. You can do ski, like the little pediatric patients. They do adaptive skiing where you're on kind of a sled and you have two things, so people who can't, you know, CP patients. And I had, you know, volunteered for a soccer camp, kids with disabilities. I did a soccer camp, kids with autism, things like that that are fun you might do anyways. PM&R, that's a field-specific activity that you did. So any of those things are great on your CV, and it's a lot of fun. It's something you can do just one day if there's a camp that you don't have to worry about. You know, you're too busy and you don't have time to do more. Again, here I talked about the dean's letter, and I want to reemphasize what he said, that it's very important to be consistent. I had things in my dean's letter that stated, you know, on internal medicine, gastrointestinal rotation, Carly worked very hard. She did presentations for the residents. She made good, you know, contact with patients, and they really respected her. And when a PM&R doctor sees that, they say, granted, Carly's not going to be treating too many GI illnesses, but I know that when I have a difficult patient, she's going to put the time and effort into them, especially because it's in her field, if she's willing to really work hard for people who aren't even in her field. And so I want to reemphasize, every rotation you need to work hard. It doesn't matter what you're interested or not. And PM&R is such a broad field that if you are going into it, any extra information you have about any random medical illness may end up helping you anyways. And so, again, talking about programs you should apply to, and I know they've covered this a little bit, but just ask people and see what's there. As far as audition rotations, I did one that was close to my home because I'm at a medical school that's away from my home, so that was another fun excuse to hang out with my family. And I know University of Virginia has recently made plans that to allow electives earlier in the year. I think they start in, like, April of your third year, because I know it's hard when your first elective is in August, and that's when people start filling out everything on air. So, I mean, if you are early, if you're first year, why not go up to your, you know, administrators and ask them if there's going to be a way to make electives done earlier if you can't. I think that medical schools are trending towards that because they recognize that there are people going into different specialties that you might not see during your core clerkships. But I think it's totally reasonable to ask somebody if you think it's going to be tough for you to get a rotation in sooner. As far as your personal statement and CV, hopefully you have someone at your med school who can help you out with that. I recommend, you don't want to say anything too off the wall in your personal statement. Usually they just want to make sure that you can write decently, you seem like an interesting person. Pick one thing you've done and just write about an interesting interaction that you had. Or you can write about something totally unrelated. I wrote one about my mom, who's a teacher, and how, you know, that's why I want to do academics, is because my mom's a teacher and I see her interactions and how many lives she changes. And it's true. I wasn't just saying that because it sounds good, even though it does and it worked. But, you know, talk about anything that's interesting to you, and that's what people want to see. It doesn't have to be, you know, I want to go into PM&R because I like sports medicine and musculoskeletal and I liked anatomy. But if you do that, it's fine. It probably won't hurt you. All right. So you guys know about applying for the most part. And again, your school should help you out with that, all the ERAS, all that good stuff. Good thing to join AAPM&R. If you join it, it's a cheaper rate as a med student. I forget exactly what the rate is. But if you go ahead and do that, you can put it on your CV. And there's actually a section in ARIS, I think, for like society memberships. So obviously when you're applying to program, they'll say, oh, you know, you had an interest in this. It wasn't just some spur-of-the-moment thing that you decided to apply to PM&R. Okay, so talking about kind of different types of residencies. So some residencies are three-year programs and some are four-year programs. It doesn't mean that you get to do one less year. It's just a three-year program means you have to do an intern year somewhere else or there. So you can do medicine, surgery, transitional. You can just do anything you want. I went to the four-year program at University of Virginia, so it was all included, and I'll talk about that a little bit. And so I guess the difference to think about is, A, you can just do something that you think will be interesting. I know certain people have done surgery residencies or surgery intern years because they thought it would be fun, or transitional years because it was in a location that they had some friends going to. So whatever you want to do is fine. I think what some people ask me about is how, when you rank them, how does it work when you're ranking a three-year program and a four-year program? So what I did is I had applied to places that had three- and four-year programs, and then one place had a four-year program, one person had place had a three-year program. So basically what you have to do is you also have to apply to intern years, which I did kind of ones closer to home and ones close to where I was, so I wouldn't have to move far, or I would move close to my family and maybe just, I don't know, live with mom for a year or something if that was the case. So when you rank them, I ranked UVA's fourth-year program first. So it'll say, you know, rank number one, I put UVA, four-year program. Then rank number two, I put UVA, three-year program. And then there's a little drop-down menu for your intern year. So you can change the order of ranking of your intern years for each three-year program that you rank. So if I'm not making sense, raise your hand. So my second ranking was UVA three-year program, and then my drop-down menu of intern years said my rankings for those was UVA number one, so I'd applied to just a regular prelim year there. And then I think I applied, I'm from Ohio, so I applied to like an Ohio State prelim year and some other one in Cleveland, and I ranked it that way. So my third choice was Ohio State, and again, not telling any programs better than the other, just how I did it. They had a three-year program, and then my drop-down menu for them had my intern years for that were in Columbus and Cleveland first, and the UVA intern year last. So that was really helpful to me to feel like, oh, I don't want to, you know, match at UVA and have to have Ohio State as my first intern choice and have to move for a year and come back. So you have all those options, okay? And if you have any further questions, you can ask me about that later, but hopefully that was helpful. So again, you know, things to look at while you're interviewing. So ask the residents what their lifestyle's like, what's their call, and also, you know, how bad is the call? Some people have home call, some people have in-house call, but if you have home call and you're getting paged every 10 minutes, that's really not that much better than just being in the hospital and hanging out and not getting paged too much and being able to get some reading done. So ask people what their call's like. Do you get a lot of pages? If you're home call, do you have a lot of emergencies where you have to come in, or can you handle a lot of things over the phone? That obviously makes a difference, too. I had home call, and our home call wasn't bad, so I was able to make plans with friends and say, hey, there's a small chance I'm going to have to leave, and I'm, you know, I can be the designated driver for the night, but otherwise I can hang out with you guys and just have my pager on me. So that's a good thing to ask. Asking, you know, the residents and attendings what types of procedures you get, if you're interested in them. Finding out if you just like the residents in general. You spend a lot of time with your co-residents, whether you like it or not, so you want them to be people you like to hang around with. But also, if you're really interested in academic and they're all so relaxed that none of them even care about their work, that might be a negative as well. So you probably want to find a happy medium there. And you can ask them, you know, ask the residents or ask the attendings, what have graduates from here done? Have they gone to fellowships? Have they, you know, are they getting jobs? Where are they getting jobs? Are they all only getting jobs in the state? Or did some people want to, you know, do a residency in the east and some get a job out west? Or were they able to do that? So all those questions are good to ask. So as far as what counts, and again, you know, I'm not a program director, so you can think of whatever wants, but honestly, what I think counts the most once you actually get an interview is just your personality. I mean, you just go and win them over and want, you know, you want to be someone they want to be around, be enthusiastic, and you'll be in good shape. Oh, and the other thing, I think in there it said something about being a team player. Don't ever say anything negative about anybody, even if they try to trick you into saying it. Just kind of smile and say, oh, I don't even know. If they say, oh, isn't so-and-so, you know, from your med school, aren't they horrible? Yeah, they're so mean to everybody. You just be like, I don't know if I can comment on that. You know, everybody's nice to me and the world is good. Just be sunny. Okay. This is from 2008. So the data for PM&R is tricky because of the 3 and 4 year programs. And then we see the number of people that match, you know, people apply to 3 and 4 year programs, so you can't look at like the percentages that match specifically and say like, oh, only 60% of people are matching because the other 30% could have matched in a 4 year program when they applied to a 3 year program. But in general, most of the PM&R programs fill. That's what that's saying there, and that there. And there are a fair amount of 4 medical grads that come out. If anyone here is, and you know, usually if they're stellar, you know, I know my program will consider them if their numbers and everything look really good. But it also, if you're coming from a good U.S. school, I think people respect that as well. So have confidence in yourself. That's how Mario passed medical school. All right. So what I'm going to tell you guys is how UVA does it, just because that's what I have experience in. And each program's different. So when we have the resident panel, they can come up and tell you how their programs vary. Now, there are some things that are common throughout all residencies. So there's a certain minimum amount of inpatient, which I believe is 13 months. I can be corrected, but anyways, and there's certain requirements that all residencies have to do, but they can split it up different ways, do it different years. So I'll give you UVA's example, and then they can tell you how their schools are different. So I did the categorical, which was the four-year program, and my intern year is slightly skewed to PM&R relevant topics, which to me was a big plus. I felt like it'd make me more prepared. So we did neuro consults and inpatient neuro. Obviously, when you're doing stroke and brain injury and some of the neuro type things, you feel more or better prepared for that. We also do urology, so that's nice. A lot of people have neurogenic bladder issues like that. I had a little insight on that. And, you know, emergency medicine was just fun, gives you a little thing. And then now we actually do a PM&R rotation as part of the intern year. So I think that was nice. But like I said, some people did straight-up surgery intern years and didn't mind it at all and thought it was fun to do something completely different for a year because they knew they'd never do it again. So, all right. So the way UVA works is our PGY 2 years all inpatient, kind of get it over with. And we do 3 months on stroke, 3 months on general, 3 months on ortho. Oh, sorry, 3 months on stroke slash TBI, which is brain injury. 3 months spinal cord, 3 months general, 3 months ortho. And you just have the same attending. There's pluses and minuses to that. Some people like a little more variety if you only do something for a month. But for us, you're on one rotation for 3 months. You take care of all the patients in that rotation, and then you switch over. And again, pluses and minuses. Some people say it'd be nice to mix in some inpatient and outpatient together. And some people said, when I'm in inpatient mode, let me just do it. I'm kind of used to it. I'm used to handling the medical things a little more. So for us, we do a lot of outpatient or PGY 3 years. So we do a month of pain management, which includes fluoroscopic injections as well as pain clinic. We do some cardiopalm geriatrics. Those are the ones that are required by ACGME for PM&R to do. We only do a couple weeks of each, but it's good to get the exposure. Do some outpatient ortho, consults, EMG, spine sports. We do some rheumatology, which is really interesting. They do injections as well, so you can learn some things from them, and they also have a different aspect, a different way of approaching patients that a lot of times you'll get someone coming into your sports clinic with a joint pain, and they'll say, oh, I think I hurt it playing soccer, and really they have gout because they're 40 and they happen to have gout now, and so it's good to kind of get that rheumatology experience and know to look for other things other than straight-up sports injuries. And prosthetics and orthotics we also do during that rotation. It's something that not a lot of people go into, and so if you do have an interest in it, you want to make sure that the program you're going to has good exposure to it, because I think it varies very much from residency to residency. And then our fourth year, we kind of get to put the finishing touches on. We get to do electives, so I'm doing a lot of sports electives. We do research. We do more EMGs. We do peds now. Again, for our program, if you're really interested in peds, you probably want to do some before your fourth year. So you might want to find a place that gets you exposure early and gets you able to do more and more. Just finding a program that fits you best. And also work with some occupational medicine, some workers' comp. And then doing other things, like I said, just volunteering for races. We cover marathons and half marathons and the soccer camps and high school football. You know, do whatever you want. And if you can't commit to a lot, just ask if you can tag along for one, you know, especially as a medical student, you know, for one football game, can I come with you guys? Maybe you don't want to give up every Friday night as a med student, but if there's one day where you're on a rotation that's easy and you just want to hang out with them, they'd love to have company and have you ask questions. Another thing you can do during residency is join the RPC. So some of the folks that'll be up here are in the RPC, and I was in the medical education representative for 2 years, and I got to learn a lot about medical education and give them the residents' point of view at the same time. So it helps me, it helps them, everybody wins. And also, of course, everyone's talked about having fun outside of work, so time to brag a little bit. So this is me. This is my intramural softball team. So during medical school and residency at UVA, I've won 13 softball championships, 2 kickball championships, 3 flag football championships. What am I missing? A couple indoor soccer, a couple ultimate. I mean, you know, I have fun. I usually have 3 or 4 intramural sports lined up every week. So that's what I do for fun. And notice we mercy ruled them in the championship, just saying. This is me in Utah when I went out there for my fellowship interview. And I enjoy the scenery. And this is another interview I went on in Seattle. Got to go to baseball parks. I've also been to, I think it's 16 of the Major League Baseball parks. I'm working my way through them. So got to knock it out Seattle during the interview rounds. That was nice. In UVA, we always have to quote Thomas Jefferson. It's required in our contracts. So he said, I give about 2 hours a day to exercise. For health must not be sacrificed to learning. A strong body makes the mind strong. All the residents of my program are former slash current athletes. We actually have a professional volleyball player or beach volleyball player on our staff right now. But, you know, everyone works out, has fun, stays healthy, and then they're happy when it's time to work and They're not sitting there complaining how they haven't done anything in a month and they feel lazy. How much time do I have? Do I need to wrap up? 5 minutes. Okay, good. So, yeah, it's a IKEA job interview. I thought that was funny. And now as far as fellowships and jobs, again, this is things that maybe you want to ask us what we're going into and our specific opinions. But, you know, it looks like, I think it's about half or so of people go into fellowships. You don't have to make that decision now, but just so you know, they're out there. And also people going into jobs, it's split, you know, halfway between the private practice and hospital settings. So you've gotten to hear a little bit about that today, but that's the way it works. This data is being very skewed. As you can see, pain dropped a bunch from 2007 to 2008. Everything ebbs and flows. Obviously, the outpatient ones are really popular, but then once that gets saturated, I bet that some of the inpatient ones will rise up again because pay will go up for them because it's, you know, people are needed in that and all that good stuff. So I would recommend just going into what you want. Don't worry about pay because you'll figure out a way to make ends meet. None of us are going to be living on the street, I promise you. If you are, you can come stay with me. So the subspecialties, so hospice and palliative care is actually a new one. It's co-sponsored by, you know, a bunch of different places, internal medicine and family medicine and all that. But we have an attending who's actually going to try to get certified in that. You can do a fellowship in that. So that goes along with some of the more inpatient stuff. And we do cancer rehab, obviously, and all that. So if you have an interest, you're welcome to go into there. You can do an EMG fellowship, a neuromuscular medicine fellowship. A lot of times that includes EMG. You can do PEDS fellowship, you can do pain, do spinal cord and sports. Now, those are the accredited ones, but there are non-accredited ones that would be really great, especially if you ended up going to residency and then sometime during residency deciding, oh, wait, I really like TBI and maybe we're not that strong in it. You can do a TBI fellowship that's not necessarily accredited, but it's going to make you a great TBI doc because you can really see a denser patient load. You know, people are spread out. Obviously, the Northeast has a strong PM&R attraction. A lot of people are there, but it's spread out throughout the country. You can practice it wherever you want. And then the places where there aren't a lot of docs, it actually makes it easier for you to slip in there, I think, because there's a need. So you can go to all the different websites. The Resident Physician Council, if you have any questions, Fred will be up here. You can always email him or just grab someone from AAPM&R. Thank you.